Several colleges and universities have suspended the internet access of students who've been accused of distributing copyrighted materials online. The electronic voting machine manufacturer Diebold Election Systems says the documents were stolen from its computers. The students and activists who've been distributing the materials say the documents are important evidence in the debate over electronic voting, and they argue the documents should remain online. From New York, NPR's Rick Carr reports.
Computer security experts, some politicians, and online activists have been complaining for years that electronic voting machines just don't work, and worse, that they're susceptible to election fraud. Until early this year, those claims were pretty much theoretical. Then a hacker apparently got into an in-house computer at Diebold, the number 3 manufacturer of electronic voting machines, and came away with more than 2 CDs worth of files, emails, memos, and some voting software. The hacker made the files available to journalists, opponents of electronic voting, and computer security experts. Dan Wallach teaches computer security at Rice University. Over the summer, he and 3 colleagues at Johns Hopkins analyzed the software for security flaws.
This software is absolutely unsuitable for use in an election.
For example, Wallach says the program allows a tech-savvy voter to cast as many votes as he or she wants and makes it possible for hackers or unscrupulous election workers to change vote counts or determine who voted for whom. What's more, Wallach says the program was just badly written.
It was of a quality below what you might expect from any commercial software, much less something for a critical environment like voting.
Diebold didn't return calls seeking comment for this story, but in a July statement, the firm said Wallach's analysis was inadequate and incomplete. The company also issued a point-by-point rebuttal of Wallach's research. But the leaked program wasn't the only thing in the purloined files that was causing problems for Diebold. Kim Zetter is a senior writer for online news service Wired News. She says the thousands of memos and emails suggest that Diebold was aware that its software was flawed.
The company knows its system is insecure. They know the system does not work the way it's supposed to be working. They joke about it many times in the memos. They talk about ways to get around it. They talk about ways to get around telling election officials and election board certifiers about certain things. And they also talk about how to get around questions that are being asked by the federal certifiers.
Zetter says it's impossible to know just how complete the picture the memos paint. The hacker, for example, could well have edited out all but the most sensational passages. Nonetheless, opponents of electronic voting posted copies of the documents on dozens of websites. Then Diebold hit back. Its lawyers sent letters to Internet Service Providers, or ISPs, alleging that any website that featured the documents was in violation of Diebold's copyrights. Justin Hughes teaches copyright at Cardozo Law School in New York. He says the firm is using a provision of a 1998 copyright law closely related to the one that the major record labels have used to crack down on file trading.
It's intended to let the copyright owner go quickly to an ISP, to someone like AOL or a web host, and say, get this stuff off the internet.
Some colleges and universities who provide internet service to their students pulled the web pages that featured the Diebold documents. Critics of the 98 copyright law said the move pointed up the chilling effects of that statute. Electronic voting opponents said Diebold was trying to squelch an open discussion of flaws in its software. In a written statement to NPR, the company said, quote, "Diebold has the right to protect its stolen property." But copyright scholars say whether the documents were stolen or not, Diebold's legal claim is weak. Wendy Seltzer is a staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Copyright law provides exceptions for fair use for news reporting, commentary, and criticism. And the posting of these archives is all of those. It's really important to a political debate that's going on.
Activists say that they're using a provision of copyright law to respond to Diebold's claims. Wendy Seltzer says that tomorrow she'll file suit in a federal district court in California on behalf of a nonprofit ISP.
We're asking for a temporary restraining order prohibiting Diebold from continuing to send these false cease and desist letters with misrepresenting their claims of copyright.
Regardless of what the court decides, Diebold's legal tactics seem to be backfiring. Student activists at Swarthmore College, where administrators pulled the documents from the internet, have been organizing an online campaign to spread them to as many websites as they can. So far, a spokesman says they're adding 4 or 5 for every one that gets shut down. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.